Then it says, and this really takes the wind out of my sails, we reviewed our own conduct over the years past. I'd much rather review yours. And I found that very subtly in my fourth step, I can spend the entire time looking at what you did to me. You see, well, I'm not doing your fourth step, I'm doing mine. Okay. It says here on the sex stuff, the questions to ask, not what's normal and abnormal, what's moral and immoral, what's disgusting and what's fun. Those aren't the questions. Because those differ, depend on your neighborhood. It says here, where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? We subjected each relation to this test. The test, was it selfish or not? Most of us have been very selfish in this area, meaning I want it my way and I want it now, on my terms. What was your name? And it then says something very profound here. It says, we asked God to mold our ideals and help us live up to them in this area of our sexual behavior, of our behavior on a fundamental basis with other people. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. And on the bottom of the page, it says, God alone can judge our sex situation. That means I can't judge my sex situation. God alone can. God has the competency. Now, in this area, I just like to mention recovery. You see, recovery is not a question of getting insights. Most of my best insights came after a couple of social drinks. Insights are not my problem. My problem is my behavior. And when we're talking about recovery, we're talking about changing behavior slowly over time. And a line I heard at a meeting that, this was in the past year that I was good enough, I wrote it in my big book. It says, when we're dealing with recovery, it says, learn how to avoid the behavior that leads you to despair. Learn how to avoid the behavior that leads you to despair. And a lot of us have those kinds of behaviors are frequently in the sexual area. You know? Because here we go again. You know? Doing it one more time. What we despise and hate and can't stand. Learn how to avoid this behavior. God's grace is real important there. And then it says, lots of us fall short of our ideals all the time. Welcome to the group. Nice to see you. Would you like a seat? What is the last category for this stuff? Finances. Finances. And it's this is serious business. Now, lots of people have tremendous guilt and shame about this stuff. So you want to make a list of your financial life. You know, do you owe a lot of money? Are you a thief? What about tax time? How have you handled that in the last years? Alimony payments, child support payments, employers stealing from them. If you have employees, have you been fair? Have you been just? I mean, the financial inventory. And just put it out there. I know I sponsored a fellow a while ago who said, oh, I owe so much money. I owe so much money. I just owe money. How much do you owe? I don't know, but it's a lot. Figure out how much you know. Take 20 minutes, okay? Well, he ended up owing like about $8,000. Now, that's a lot for me. It's a lot for him. But I sponsored another guy just the year earlier who got sober owing $300,000. He was one of those folks that introduced people with money to people with money. So he got sober and he was paying off his debt. And he was doing it in little bits and little bits and little bits. So I said, why don't you call the first guy, you with the 8,000, talk to the guy with the 300, would you please? Let's get relative. Then another year or two later, I met a fellow who got sober owing $500,000. So I said, call Cliff. This is, you know, the guy with 300 thou. Why don't you talk? I think the principles that helped him are the principles that'll help you. So I explained this in Miami last November. And a guy came up to me who's 28 years old and said, I owe 1,100 thou. I'd like Cliff's phone number. And I said, you're lucky to be so young because you have years to pay this off, you know. Okay. Resentment, fear, sexual stuff, and finances. Those are the four most crazy-making areas in most people's lives. That's why it's the subject of the fourth step. Can you say good things in those areas too? Of course you can. You know, you handle this resentment real well. You got over that one, or this sexual situation turned out. I mean, it is an inventory. Let's take a look at what's there. Now, what if you do that to the best of your ability, and there's still a couple of things that haven't fit into one of those categories, and you'd die if anybody knew about them? Column five. Things I'd die about if anybody knew about, you see. Make a do it in Greek or Hebrew, you know, some code. But list that stuff, you know. Because those are the things that keep us ashamed. Those are the things that keep us, and as sober people, we don't have to feel shame anymore. Then step five. How much time do we have? Do we have time? Oh, great. Who to do a fifth step with? Anybody who will keep his or her mouth shut, you can do your fifth step with. See, now this is important. If someone does their fifth step with you, can I just talk for a minute about confidentiality? Because that, we don't talk.
Well, I'm doing my...
I hear a lot of it. If someone chooses you to do a fifth step with them, this is a high honor. And it's frequently a very humbling experience. Because you find out how much you have in common, how much pain you share. It's a wonderfully bonding thing. But if someone does that, what they tell you is told in confidence. And it should never be divulged under any circumstances to anyone. No doubts, no exceptions. Now, the model for this that I use is, again, my own tradition, where the ironclad rule for a priest is called the seal of the confessional. And anything that a priest hears in the confessional is sealed. It cannot be there are no exceptions to this rule. You can't even reveal it to the person who told it to you. I mean, you can't go up the year later and say, hey, George, how's the adultery? You can't do it. This is why, again, in the Western Church, they worked out a thing of the confessional with a screen separating the priest from the person doing the talking to protect anonymity. Well, again, so we were told to make a prayer. And the prayer was this, that as the priest, once you leave the confessional, your mind is wiped clean. You just don't have to remember anything you heard. You know. You can do it with anybody who keeps their mouth shut. How long does a fifth step take? Lots of them last between 20 minutes and an hour. Lots of them. Now, yours may be a lot longer. But, see, editing is okay in the fifth step. By which I mean, Say in your fourth step, and you're scrupulous in your fourth step, rigorously honest, and the thing you were doing was stealing, and you would break into cars and steal transistor radios, and you are so compulsive and crazy that you have kept score of every car you've ever broken into, license plate, you know, and so forth, kind of radio. I mean, it's just page after page after page. You have 700 individual thefts listed in your fourth step. All right. In your fifth step, must you mention every one? No. The exact nature of your wrong is you're a thief. Then give three interesting examples. Then go on to the next thing. You see? I mean, it doesn't have to be this eternal process. And then my 19th wife, she said, you know. All right. People sometimes do come in to me and they'll have like the New York telephone directory fourth step and they're ready to read it to me, you know. Well, my life flashes in front of my eyes at moments like that. And I say, put it down. Not always, but some, I said, tell me about your resentments. Okay, now tell me about your fears. Tell me about your sexual stuff. Tell me about your finances. Then I say, any other big secrets? Well, let me check. Okay, go check. You know? No, I guess not. Then we're done. You mean that's all there was to it? Yeah, that's all there is to it. Well, I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I got beaten up. Good. You know, you don't have to feel like you've been beaten up. Four and five. I am of the opinion that a fourth step can be done in an evening. Turn off the TV. Get down. It's a good 3 or 4 hours. Give yourself 1 hour on resentments, 1 hour on fears, 1 hour on sexual stuff, and 1 hour on finances. And then share it with somebody. When I started doing mine, I began writing the great American novel. And that's not what this is about. So I spent 18 months, but I only wrote when I was in pain because it took the edge off. And that's, I mean, I ended up with not a lot of material. And I found out that if you give me a couple of drinks, I will do the same stuff over and over and over again without variation. So I'm a pretty dull drunk. See? But it's getting this done. Okay. Anything else on... Oh, yeah. How's this for a topic? On the fourth step and the fifth. On the fourth. What happens if you cannot remember anything between age 13 and 26? Then say... I cannot remember anything between age 13 and 26, period. Write about what you can remember. Is that reasonable? Next, on the fifth step, when it was right there, oh, don't tell me it's lost. It's very scary when it gets lost way back here. Hold on, we're searching, scanning. Fourth step. What was I just saying about the fourth step? You can't remember every... Ah, thank you. Fifth step stuff. One person said, well, I'd like to do my fifth step with my wife. Because I think it will bring us closer. The purpose of the fifth step is not for you to be closer to your wife. The purpose of the fifth step is for you to get free enough and clear enough so that you can be with your wife. You know? So don't use that as a tool for it. Traveling around, I go to some small towns. And some people do their fifth step with me because they know they'll never see me again. And that's completely legitimate and valid. Or I'll go to a place and say, They'll say, listen, I did my fifth step with my sponsor. It was pretty thorough. There were two items I didn't mention. Can I just mention them to you? The answer is yes. You know, get it done. You see? It's those guilt things that can just keep us here. And sponsors, the book says, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being. It doesn't say sponsor. Some sponsors don't qualify. And the fifth step is not for the sponsor's ego. It's for the other person's sense of freedom. Okay, now, should you do a fifth step every year? I don't know. If it helps, I guess. I don't. I'm 11 and a half years sober. I've done one fifth step. That's worked just fine for me. I throw other stuff into the 10th step, and we'll talk about that some, you know. But I mean, I just figure, who wants? But the rule, if it helps, use it. If it doesn't help, don't use it. I've been to meetings where the argument is, fifth step or 10th step, which one is it? Well, it's, you know, who cares? This is no, who cares? All right. Anything else? That's a lot. We're almost an hour, aren't we? Good for you. See, I'm not completely off. Next week when we gather... Oh, let me just do a very... Because next week's our last week. I want to say real briefly, the evening that you do the fifth step, do 6 and 7 too. Just get them done. See, my thing is the fifth is so awful, right? Ugh, took me years. You want to lie down for a couple of years to rest up afterwards. No. Step 6 says... Why don't I have these memorized? By now you'd think I'd care enough to memorize them. But the thing, I say it's written down. Why memorize it? That's what I say. All right, see. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That's kind of, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? And most people, the second they're done with step 5, can say yes to that. They're just sick and tired of being this broken. You know, are you sick and tired of your best scam? You know? If you can say yes, even 20% yes, that's valid. You know, 4 of 6 steps. Just make it very clear, and then it says, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings, and that's the 7-step prayer. And it says, my Creator, I ask you to take all of me, good and bad. I ask you to remove from me every single defective character which stands in the way of my usefulness. Some of your defects are very useful, and you're going to have them a long time because that's how people identify with you. We don't identify with the perfect. You know, we shun those people, you know? Oh, she's perfect. You ever talk to her? Oh, no. We identify with broken people because we're broken too. And when newcomers come to meetings, they need to meet self-obsessed, crazy bigots. Because then they'll say, God, if they can get sober, I can get sober, you know, and they keep coming to meetings. You feel much better that way. So, there's a controversy that says, what's the difference between nature of our wrongs, defects of character, and shortcomings? And I've been to meetings where this really was the topic, you know. Well, Bill Wilson did not like repeating himself. That's an important insight, because when you read through the book, you'll find he'll say the same thing 6 times, but in different ways. And so it's like, gee, this sounds a little repetitive. Well, it is. So he says, exact nature of wrongs, defects of character, and shortcomings, it's all the same thing. They're talking about those parts of our lives that need healing. That's what a defective character is. The part of my life that needs healing. My bigotry. My fear. My rage. My self-importance. My self-righteousness. That's the kind of stuff that makes my life miserable, and the people I live with, they stand a little on edge when I'm in one of those areas. You know? And that gets healed not by willpower but by God's grace over time. Time is a good friend to to us. And we are out of it. Do we say the Lord's Prayer or something now, or sing Happy Trails? What do we do?